Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overdoon, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
Being in the month of May still, in much of North America at least, we are clearly in the spring season of the year again. What a lovely season springtime is, don't you agree? Spring is a season virtually enjoyed by everyone, also because you know it leads into summer. Well, why do I introduce the sermon this way? It's because, dear friends, our text for this broadcast reminds us of spring and what great spiritual realities and riches springtime also teaches us in the light of God's Word. Isaiah foretells, as stated in Isaiah 61 verse 11, in view of Christ Jesus, the crucified, risen, and exalted Savior, "For as the earth brings forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations." What a text this is. It is surprising, actually, how often when the Bible speaks of Christ and His salvation work and the divine success of the gospel ministry and the establishment of God's church and kingdom, how often then it makes reference to the spring season in nature. How good to enjoy God's creation in nature, being reminded from it also of His salvation work of recreation in Christ Jesus. Is this something you do and promote too, even in your family life, with your children or with your friends, when you go for walks and hikes, etc.? Do you draw from nature gospel truths, most precious indeed? Did not Jesus do this often, especially in the parables? Think of Jesus, for example, in Luke 21, when telling of the second and final coming of Christ. What does Jesus then say in Luke 21, verse 29 to 31, after saying, "Your redemption in all its fullness and its climax draws nigh"? We read, "And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass," referring to the signs of his second coming, "know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand." Well, so I could go on showing you how God's Word instructs us to observe about spring not only the beauties of nature, but also the greater and more splendid spiritual realities of new life in and through Christ the Savior. But let us go right to our text now, Isaiah 61:11, and dwell more just on it. Let us think about this verse under the theme, an encouraging springtime picture in regards to the fruit of the gospel worldwide. Observe with me what a meaningful picture we have here. What a messianic picture. And what a motivating picture. "For as the earth brings forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations." This verse, Isaiah 61:11, surely presents and proclaims a meaningful picture when you think what God is actually saying here. The text relates, as you and I see nature around us coming to life again in the spring season, so God is working throughout the ages to cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Righteousness here is another word, really, for the fullness of salvation. Righteousness and praise to God for His saving work. It refers to not only being delivered from all our sins, but also more and more delivered from our sinfulness. The phrase righteousness and praise in the text refers to justification and sanctification, and really to the whole of God's saving works on behalf of sinners. because of the fall of man in the beginning with Adam and Eve, we know righteousness and praise to God is something unknown to us and impossible from us, left to ourselves. The natural man, left to himself or herself, is a depraved sinner, dead in trespasses and sins, spiritually speaking. Paul says that very clearly in Ephesians 2. In Romans 3, the same apostle also emphatically says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." But now you see and hear, our text proclaimed this gospel truth, that God has not forsaken this world, lost in sin, and headed for eternal judgment. Rather, in infinite mercy, He has reached down to fallen mankind, steeped in sin, and through His saving work, on behalf of sinners, as revealed in Christ the Savior, the Lord God has obtained righteousness for sinners. Yes, this is what Jesus accomplished, you see, on sinners' behalf, through His once-for-all sacrifice on Golgotha. And through His finished work, Jesus also sends His Holy Spirit to make clear this gospel to sinners, to His people, to His elect people, throughout the world, throughout the ages. Therefore, Paul says about the gospel of Jesus Christ, as revealed in all the Holy Bible, "Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." That righteousness of God accomplished for sinners like us by Christ Jesus, even for as many as trust and follow Him. Think here of what Paul says in Romans 1, verse 16 to 17. You can look it up later. Oh, coming to Christ as our one and only refuge from sin and for all our righteousness before God, this is what fills the mind and heart truly with so much praise and thanksgiving to God. When a person grasps, yes, the gospel truth as expressed by Paul also in 2 Corinthians 5:21, how God has made Jesus Christ His own Son to be sin for us, who knew no sin, He Himself, and was always without sin. God made Him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I say, when that is grasped and believed in true faith, then that fills the heart with so much praise and adoration before God, dwelling upon God's salvation work for undeserving sinners like us, you and me, in and through Christ and His substitutionary atonement for sin. Dwelling on that fills the heart with praise and adoration indeed. Isn't that what true Christians confess and experience when it is well with their soul? When the prophet Isaiah writes about God's saving works on behalf of His people, his first reference is to the wonderful return of the Jews from the Babylonian captivity that would take place in years ahead. But that too, we know, Scripture tells us, was a foreshadowing and in anticipation of really the far greater work of God on sinners' behalf, namely the redeeming work of Christ, the promised Messiah, as crucified and risen Redeemer of His people. This is the wonder of history in this fallen, sinful world, the gospel of grace and truth in Christ Jesus. God will cause righteousness and praise to the one true God, to spring forth before all nations, the text says. In other words, the Lord God Triune will cause His gospel to be spread throughout the ends of the earth and to take root and bear fruit in people's lives, here and there and everywhere, by His almighty power. That is what the text proclaims and promises. And so doing, Isaiah 61:11 certainly gives us a meaningful picture full of hope and promise, really. As sure as you see the budding trees and plants and grass turning green and growing in this new spring season, so sure is the success of the spreading gospel and the new life from sin to righteousness, from death to life, from damnation to deliverance, for as many as repent of sin and believe on Christ. That is what our text is saying. Do you not find it wonderful to consider, even more than you enjoy the spring season by itself? The text presents and proclaims a meaningful picture, not only in that it relates the salvation message and it tells the sureness of the success of the gospel, but also our text clearly tells of the sovereign God behind the success of the gospel. Who is behind the spring season in nature? And who causes the trees to become filled with blossoms and leaves and fruit again another year? and the grass to grow green, and the seeds to germinate in the fields to plants, and the plants to take root and to bear fruit? That is not Mother Nature at work again, as the world puts it. No, but that is God's work, and God at work. It is His doing always by His almighty hand. The Lord causes the grass to grow, the psalmist of Psalm 104 declares, and it is He who renews the face of the earth each spring season again. And spiritually speaking, so it is always the case as well. What do I mean with that? I mean, salvation is of the Lord. It is He, the Lord God, who causes righteousness and praise to spring forth in people's hearts and lives before all the nations by the power of His Holy Spirit and Word. In both fields, physically in nature and spiritually in the heart, we may plant and sow, but God alone gives the increase, and He is the one by whose hand we plant and sow too. Everything good and wonderful for this life and in regards to salvation and eternal life is of the Lord. To the Lord God belongs all the glory for springtime in nature, and so much the more also for all and any success of the gospel in our own hearts and lives and throughout the world. What a miracle it is when God causes the desert in nature to blossom as a rose, and when He causes the barren trees to become fruitful again each spring season. By now already you are so used to it that it's all grown back. But let's not become used to it. Let's be thankful. And even more, what a miracle of grace and power it is when the Lord God causes righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations on this sin-cursed, fallen, rebellious world, where every human being is born dead in sins and trespasses, spiritually speaking. Let's thank God when there's spiritual life and when people are saved. For when God works with saving power and He has His gospel word and work take root and bear fruit, oh, it is simply so wonderful and marvelous. God bringing about new life, so great and glorious change and conversion in people's lives, in their minds and hearts and will, turning us from death to life, from guilt to grace, from sin to salvation, from wickedness to holiness, from cursing to praising. This is the work of our sovereign, gracious Savior God. Hallelujah! Each springtime may assure us too that this work is continuing and will continue till the last day when all the elect seed have been called and saved. Do you see it with me, dear friends, how our text gives us an encouraging springtime picture in regards to the success of the gospel worldwide? For it presents such a meaningful picture. Almost everyone enjoys the spring season and finds it an encouraging and exciting time, because in springtime we see so much of nature transformed and made alive again and beautiful and fruitful. Well, so much more in the way of salvation by God's saving power through His gospel seed. Then instead of a heart of stone hardened in sin, the Lord gives a heart of flesh, pulsating for God and His glory. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, says Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Yes, as happens in nature, in the spring season, and even so much more. We may see then, just as Jesus says in Mark 4:28, the earth bring forth fruit, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Then too, in the hearts and lives of sinners throughout the world, wherever the gospel is received into the heart by God's grace and Spirit. As Prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 55:13, then instead of the briar grows up the fir tree, and instead of the thorn grows up the myrtle tree, and the whole desert of life fallen in Adam now blossoms as the rose, redeemed by God's grace and mercy. Oh, God's people then become as trees of righteousness, bearing fruit still, even in old age, all by God's saving grace and renewing power. Do you see it with me, how this text presents and proclaims such a meaningful picture, most encouraging about the success of the gospel by God's almighty gracious hand. For as the earth brings forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. It's a springtime text, Isaiah 61:11, full of gospel promise and gospel tidings for all who have ears to hear. It is a text to know, not only in reference to the cause of God worldwide, but also in reference to the gospel work of God in your own heart and life, and mine too. This text gives hope also to those who are yet total strangers to God, and still in their sin. Listen, with the Lord God of the Bible, as revealed in Christ Jesus the Savior, there is real hope of change and renewal. And the gospel call is, dear friends, don't continue in a barren, unfruitful, and dry desert state, but come to God just as you are and ask for His forgiveness and His renewing, saving power in your life. Don't observe and enjoy springtime in nature, seeing everything come alive, with a heart that remains still in the winter of sin and deadness spiritually before God and your neighbor. No, but pray rather to the Lord to renew and transform and revive also you in your mind and heart through His gospel word, that you too may really enjoy spring in a double sense and a doubly rich way, not just physically but spiritually. Indeed, eternally so. He is far more desirous to revive you in your mind and heart in the ways of the Lord than to revive nature in any spring season. God cares more for people than all the rest of His creation. The Bible makes that clear. Even if your present cold and barren condition spiritually is again now on account of your own foolishness and backslidings and waywardness once more, listen, a bruised reed shall He not break, and smoking flax or a smoldering wick shall He not quench or snuff out, but rather the Savior is out to minister to such. Jesus says in Matthew 12:20. And God's word testifies in 1 John 1, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is God's gospel word to as many as look to Him, and for as often as you and I call upon Him from out of our sins and misery and our needs left to ourselves. This text, Isaiah 61:11, was intended by God surely to be encouraging in every way, encouraging to the Israelites of old and encouraging to us today still. Do you find it an encouraging gospel word? More even than you find the spring season uplifting, seeing all the new growth and life out there in nature? Our text may be viewed as encouraging in a gospel way and in the Christian life. Not only when you think of the meaningful picture it presents and proclaims here, but also consider the messianic picture it presents and proclaims. This is the second main point in which we notice clearly what a messianic verse we have here. It is messianic in the sense that the glorious message of Isaiah 61:11 is all on account of the Messiah whom God promised to Israel of old, and of whom Isaiah the prophet foretold so much. The wonderful tidings and blessings mentioned in Isaiah 61:4-11 are because of the Messiah, that coming Messiah still in Isaiah's day, of whom Isaiah speaks in verses 1 to 3. We know the verses 1 to 3 speak clearly of the coming Messiah, for in Luke 4, Jesus Himself tells us that is the case. In Luke 4, when Jesus was in the hometown of Nazareth, He read from Isaiah 61:1-3, and then He said to the crowd in that synagogue, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." You see, this is the gospel truth about Jesus of Nazareth, the same Jesus who would give His life a ransom for many. Of Him it is the gospel truth, what we read about in the opening verses of Isaiah 61. The Spirit of God came upon him and anointed him to preach good tidings unto the meek. And he was sent to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. He came to this earth as Savior of sinners, to seek and to save the lost, and so to comfort all that mourn on account of sin and evil, and to give unto them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And Jesus, we know, is the one who by his once-for-all sacrifice, with his shed blood, and by his word and spirit, is able to save to the uttermost, and to revive to the uttermost, all that come unto God by him. The heavenly bridegroom, Jesus Christ the Lord, through his finished work on sinners' behalf, has garments of salvation for his bride, so that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have abundant life, and everlasting life, in and through him. Are you this spring season coming to Christ for your salvation from start to finish? Isaiah 61:11 is the most meaningful text, because it is also a messianic text, clearly, based on the triune work of God in and through Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen again. While there's no hope of new life and eternal life for anyone apart from Jesus Christ, listen, there's endless hope for all in and through Jesus the Savior, for all who come to him from wherever in the whole wide world. And God's revealed will and earnest desire is that all will hear his voice and come to him while he offers pardon and peace. Just as our main text says, Isaiah 61:11, as the earth brings forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Oh, for sure, dear friends, here we have an encouraging springtime text that presents and proclaims a meaningful picture and a messianic picture. And lastly, let us notice also that it is meant to be such a motivating picture for us too. How motivating? Well, doesn't it motivate and stimulate and arouse you and invite you and me to go to God for ourselves and for others to be made alive and fruitful spiritually? Even as we see the trees bud in nature and the grass becoming green and the flowers blossoming? You and I may come to God with a text such as this and pray the Lord to make it as the spring season in our hearts and lives, each one and all. The Lord God can do it and will do it. The text says so. Oh, pray the great gracious husbandman to make it springtime in your heart and life. In Jesus' name, Lord, revive us again by your Spirit and word. For Jesus' sake we pray. Lord, quicken me, make me alive in your ways of grace and truth. Cause me to blossom and flourish in your ways. Will you in this spring season in nature also invite the Savior thus to come down into your soul and heart? Yes, as the bride in the Song of Solomon says to the heavenly bridegroom in Song of Solomon chapter 4 verse 16, awake, O north wind, and come, thou south wind, and blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. That's the prayer of a Christian, looking for God's reviving power for the glory of his name. Shouldn't our text of Isaiah 61:11 so motivate us who confess Christ as only Savior and Lord? Let's not be content with just so much fruitfulness and praise to God that satisfies the status quo. No, but that we seek for more and more to his praise and glory. If there be the blade of new life, let us look for the ear. And if there be the ear, look for the full corn in the ear, that you and I may be truly indeed as trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified, as Isaiah says in our text chapter, and that he may be glorified more and more. Isn't this every true and healthy Christian's longing and prayer and striving by grace through faith in Jesus, living in union and communion with Christ and his word, as John 15 also teaches us? The text should motivate us then personally in the way of grace, making us more and more fruit-bearing to God's praise and praying for this very blessing. And also, isn't it true how the scripture verse should and may encourage us and compel us, all those who are confessing Christians, in regards to missions and evangelism, in seeking to be a gospel light and sowing the gospel seed as Christian witnesses in word and deed? Let us be assured, also from this text, our work is not in vain. No, for as the earth brings forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Let this beautiful and bountiful season of spring again, and this springtime text of Isaiah 61:11, motivate us, each one, to go forward in joyful confidence in being a gospel light wherever God has placed us and whatever our position and role in society. Listen, the word of the Lord will not return to him void or empty. The work of missions and evangelism by God's faithful church is a work that can't help but succeed by the power of God. May God make us each and all zealous for his gospel cause, also through this text, that we never rest till, as Isaiah says in Isaiah 32:15, till the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted as a forest. An encouraging springtime text, which serves as a picture in regards to the success of the gospel. It gives us, yes, a meaningful picture, a messianic picture, and a motivating picture, as those who confess and follow the Lord. As we enjoy another spring season, will you remember Isaiah 61:11? May the words of this text be ringing in your ears and be as a song of joy and hope in all our hearts, as the earth brings forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Thanks, Lord, for the springtime season in nature, and for the hopeful, helpful springtime gospel teaching and promise from Isaiah 61:11. Let it bear much fruit, even now, even through this radio message. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the Internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com. and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.